I'm telling you, guys, healing is yours. You don't have to struggle for it. You don't have to strive for it. It belongs to you, just like forgiveness of sins, just like peace of mind. And I'm just speaking that over everyone watching and over everyone here, peace of mind. A sound heart is life to the body. I think that's Proverbs 14:30. Anyway, it's in the Bible. A sound heart is life to the body. And so, you know, part of that is peace of mind. And did you understand that that part of the atonement passage in Isaiah 53? I think, Daniel, in our circles, this is probably the most what's the word that I want? It's not mentioned. It's not taught. It's not focused on. It's the least focused principle of what we have in the atonement. And it's Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our individual sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's generational sin patterns. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And we really have a lot of revelation on the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions, and to some degree, you know, that he broke all generational sin patterns, and by his stripes we're healed. But notice the third thing there. It says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And how many of you are appropriating that atonement benefit? And, you know, anxiety, the Bible says that the anxiety, I think it's Proverbs 12:25, that anyway, it's in the Bible. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. What causes depression? Anxiety in the heart of man. And why would you need to be anxious when Jesus was made peace for us? Jesus was chastised, those thorns in his head, he was chastised for our peace. There's no reason for you to not have peace. There's no reason for you to be anxious. There's no reason for somebody to accept a bipolar or schizophrenia diagnosis. Amen. Any more than you would accept stage 4 cancer or something else. Are you tracking with me? Well, what we do is we exalt these mental things, or Alzheimer's or dementia, and we exalt that above the Word of God. And all the time, guys, Jesus was chastised for our peace. Amen. And there's no peace with your mind full and heart full of anxiety. There's no peace, you know, if they tell you you're bipolar and you agree with that, or you're schizophrenic and you can't do anything about it, or you've got, you know, dementia. What was I talking about? Just wanted to see if you're awake. Oh, that was my funny for the day. But I'm just led right now by the Spirit to say this is one of the main thieves that then gives the enemy access to afflict our bodies. It's just peace of mind, or lack of peace of mind. I mean, depression and oppression and anxiety. In Philippians 4, and I taught some of this in second year today, but in Philippians chapter 4, listen, guys. Okay, 17 times in the New Testament, and I'm just getting way off my message, but somebody needs this, so I'm going to go with it. Is that okay? 17 times in the New Testament, it says grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Yeah? Have you ever read that? Yes. Is that just something we say over our meal, or we just, you know, is there a reason why grace and peace 17 times are listed together. What does it mean? Grace and peace go together, right? Grace and peace go together like rice and beans, like peas and carrots, like Andrew and Jamie, like Greg and Janice, right? Yes?
Yes.
Like Daniel and Tracy. Listen, what else does that mean? Whenever you've left peace, you've left grace. Now that's not a condemnation, it's just a realization. Whenever your heart starts to be overfilled with anxiety, anxious thoughts, how many of you have ever worried? I'm gonna have an altar call for liars. How many of y'all have ever worried? Okay, all right. How many of you has worry ever helped? No, so Jesus was chastised. One of the things that he provided for us in the atonement is for you and I to be able to walk in peace. Why is that important? Because a sound heart is life to the body. And if your heart is all full of anxiety, okay, it's gonna hinder you receiving the life that's in your spirit can get blocked off. And God wants you to be at peace today. Yes? And Philip, I'm telling you, I live in peace. I'm just, when I came here now, how many years ago? 14 years. Daniel was 6 months or so ahead. He beat me here by 6 months. But Daniel and I both came, I think, in 2011 or somewhere. So, you know, and then they found out I could teach, and I started teaching, and then they asked me to be the first dean of education at Caris. And I thought, man, I know how to pastor, but I don't know how to dean. And so, are you guys sure you want me to do this? I mean, and I didn't know what the job, what it entailed. And all right, if y'all want me to do this, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do this job, but I'm not gonna leave peace to do the job. Because you have the feeling, if you haven't experienced it before, you have the feeling of being inadequate, right? How many of you ever felt inadequate? Okay, and how many of you remember your first child that you had? You remember how you felt inadequate to have that child, and then you know, my first granddaughter is about to have her first baby, so we're going to be great grandparents, but. You know, they're buying all this expensive, all this stuff. You know how it is. You just everything, you know, and it's like, man, by the time, you know, you got all this stuff. By the time you have your second or third child, it's the 5 second rule. Something falls on the floor, you just pick it back up, you know, wipe the dust off. But everything's got to be perfect, right? Guys, we feel inadequate about things, and then we allow anxiety to hit our heart. God's never asked me to do anything that I felt adequate for. Amen. So I just lean into His adequacy. Everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And so I just lean into His adequacy, and I'm not gonna leave peace to do this. I'm just not gonna do it. And then they asked me to be later about two. I just got comfortable deaning. I just got comfortable being a dean. And then they asked me to be the director. They promoted my boss, Gary Lukey, to where Mike and Carrie are as vice presidents. And they came to me. They want me to be the director of the Bible college. I said, are you guys sure? Have y'all prayed about this? Have you talked to Andrew? I mean, I like to teach, and I don't want to get bogged down in meetings and admin. And anyway, they said, no, we feel like you're all right. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to leave peace to do this job. And I'm not saying I never did, but guys, we have to steward our peace. If you want to walk in health, it starts on the inside. And Philippians 4, this is how I do it. This is how I live. Okay? And again, this isn't even the introduction to my message. This is just something that somebody needs. It could be Maybe it's not to anybody here. Maybe it's to someone online. But I'm sure it's for someone here too. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for a few things. Be anxious for only the important things. Be anxious for what? But in everything what? In everything you're tempted to be anxious about. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here's what I do. Would you like to know how I steward peace in my heart? When I don't feel adequate, when they ask me to be the dean and then they ask me to be the director or whatever it is that, you know, that I don't feel adequate to do and I'm tempted to worry about things that are beyond my control, or maybe it's one of my children going through something or one of my grandchildren, I'm going to help them a lot by worrying for them, right? And about them, right?
No.
Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything that you're tempted to be anxious about, go into prayer. Don't make all your requests right now. Get it over on the Lord. Whatever you're tempted to worry about, that child, that financial thing, that in some cases this is healing now, so it could be a diagnosis or prognosis that a doctor gave you. A negative report, you've got stage 3 cancer, whatever. Faith is not denying that report. Faith is denying that report to have final authority in your life. It's exalting this report above that one. And so what do I do if I got any bad report? You got, you know, your child's got ADHD. I just tell them, no, I cancel that out. They're PhD. And I get in prayer. Okay. I get my cares. 1 Peter 5:7. I get all my cares over on the Lord. It's like sticky flypaper. And sometimes it gets off one hand, it's on the other. Another sister verse to 1 Peter 5:7 and Philippians 4:6 is Matthew 6:6. Jesus said, when you enter your closet, shut your door. When you pray, shut your door. What am I shutting the door on? Everything I'm tempted to worry about. And how can you tell you've got there? Because you go back to Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. When I get my cares on the Lord, I shut the door off of what I'm worried about. Now I can start thanking God. When I'm thanking God, okay, I got the worry over on the Lord. Are you hearing me? Then verse 7, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding basically will kick into gear and will rule your heart and mind, will guard your heart and mind from anxiety, which is one of the number one thieves of the enemy to rob your health. They did a study of, I don't know how they say it, centenarians, people who've lived past 100. Is that the right word? I don't know if it is, but it's close. So they did a study of 5,000 centenarians. And they wanted to find the scarlet thread between, you know, what caused them to live so long. And it wasn't diet. It wasn't exercise. It wasn't whether they drank or smoked. It had all to do with how they dealt with stress. And doctors will tell you stress is a killer. And I just told you guys how to manage your heart. And a sound heart is life to the body. And somebody here needed that. Again, I've got a wonderful message, but somebody needed that because that is the key for you to receive your healing. Your healing is already on deposit in your spiritual account, in your spirit. Jesus already paid for it. But notice he took care of your sins. He took care of your generational curses and peace of mind. And then it's healing. Do you see that? Okay. Healing, guys, many times is connected to you ruling, you're guarding your heart and mind with peace. Now, who's humble enough in this room and in those who are at home to say, God was talking to me about this. Just stand up, because I want to pray over you. See how much he loves you. See, this is healing now, and I could give you a whole lot of healing verses, but this is the thing that's really got you stuck. This is the thing that the enemy's using to afflict you. And so just put your one hand on your heart, another hand over your head, and just say, Father, I thank you. Just say it out loud. And those of you who are watching at home, just pray this prayer. Father, I thank you that your son was chastised for my peace. Part of my atonement blessing, what Jesus died on the cross to give to me, was peace of mind. I resist anxiety. I speak against depression. I get my cares over on you, Lord. And I receive your peace in Jesus' name. Now, Satan, I break the power of worry and anxiety and depression over your people. And I release life, peace, health, wholeness in Jesus' name. Man, there's the healing power of God right now, guys. There's the healing virtue of Jesus that's quickening your mortal bodies. Man, tumors are dissolving. Growths are dissolving. Warts are being removed. All kinds of fungus, fingernail, toe, all kinds of fungus is being destroyed by the simple power of the Word of God and the life of Jesus that is freely flowing now because your heart's ruled with peace. Heart disease is being healed. Man, arteries are opening up. Praise God. Blood's flowing. And depression is leaving. Joy is in peace, is ruling your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Man, Father, give us vision of the health that belongs to us. And your strength is being renewed. Hallelujah. Man, pain is going. All kinds of pain, joint pain, back pain, migraines are leaving. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank him now, all of us. Father, we just thank you. Those of you watching at home, man, this is powerful. The healing virtue of Jesus is being made manifest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Listen, guys, this is something you do every day. There are things that hit me sometimes about one of my grandchildren or something that's going on that's just not right. And I'm tempted to worry about it, but I'm going to go in prayer. This is how I live. I go in prayer and I just get it over on the Lord. Father, I can't control this. And I sure can't help it by worrying. And so I'm getting it over on you, and I'm going to start praising and thanking Jesus. And then I'm going to go get involved in helping somebody else's grandchild. Amen. And so whatever's going on in your life, guys, get it over on the Lord. And then you're going to be receiving God's heart to go out and minister to other people. And while you're ministering to other people and living in peace, the life that's in your spirit flows freely and starts quickening your mortal body, and the pain goes, the disease leaves, and you just wake up healed. Amen. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you are going to discover that pain's gone. You can move around now. Thank you, Father. Man, that's better than a sharp stick in the eye. How many of you received? Listen, God, it's not, this is not just a one-time moment. This is not just for this moment. This is a life. This is how you live. And what I just shared, look, I encourage you just go back and listen to this message over. Okay, because this is how I live. Jesus, he was freaked out a lot by situations in life, wasn't he? Was he freaked out? No. So you and I are as he is? Yeah, hallelujah. So I do have some healing books. This is called Your Healing Door. It's the best healing book I've ever written. It's the only one too. So this book gives you 12 different ways to receive healing. Okay. So is there somebody struggling with a cancer diagnosis here that's in here? Anybody?
Can I give it to my sister?
Okay. Right back in the back, back here. Could you get that to her? She's way in the back. Okay.
Yes,
I want to give that to you. All right. Is anybody struggling with diabetes? Anybody dealing with diabetes in your body? Or you have a close family member you can get this to, or friend? Okay, sister, come on. I'll give this to you. It's my ministry school. Anointed woman of God, Marie, thank you. Oh, that's all right. You'll get it.
Thank you.
Okay, and then who's had a chronic... Who's been in a chronic situation? Okay, sister, I'm going to give that to you right here. Okay? Thank you. All right. So, you know, we could go home and say we've already received. I'm really struggling a little bit because I do have something I want to share. I think it's helpful, but man, I just don't want to move away too quickly from this whole thing about peace. I mean, can you sense his presence right now?
Yes,
man, it is so powerful. Let's just worship for a minute. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this peace that you brought to us today. Just through ministering your word, you brought us peace, Lord. And we value your presence. And we value the peace that you've given us. Jesus, you said you give us your peace and the world can't give that to us. You've given us that peace. And we're gonna, with your help, Lord, we're gonna live in it. We're gonna walk in it. We're gonna live in peace. Not give any place to the enemy to eat our lunch and pop the bag. Amen? Praise God. So guys, I'm just encouraging you. Okay, you have to steward this, and you steward this in prayer. And when you go in prayer, the first thing I do in prayer, well, I might worship first, okay, but if anything has to do with what worry, I'm getting it over on the Lord. And man, when you start praising God and worshiping God, look at Psalms 8 and then Psalms 9. Psalms 8 and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, but that word in the Hebrew is praise, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. How many of you would like to silence the devil? Just start praising and worshiping God. Get Daniel's new worship album. Is it out now, Daniel? Okay, I need to get that. But he had me go in his office and listen to this new worship album he's got. It's just, man. We just were caught up in the presence of God in your office. And you need to get that. It's powerful. But get into worship. Man, when you start praising and worshiping God, it silences the enemy. And you know how he does. But you start worshiping God. Why? Because you're taking strength from him. You're taking his place. He used to be the anointed cherub, and now he's the annoying accuser. That we can silence, amen. That when we praise, now look at chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. When my enemies turn back, they'll fall and perish at your presence. And he goes on to say, you've maintained my right and my cause. You know how you cause the enemy to be silent and fall back? It's in the presence of God. And so you get in the presence of God and you get your cares over on the Lord and you start praising God. You silence the enemy. You cause him to fall back. It's powerful, guys. It's awesome. Okay, I have almost a new book out. Okay, and it's called A Merry Heart. And it's 130 clean jokes. So how many of you would like to get one of those? Okay, it's real close to being done. So they're going to have it out probably within a month. You can go to Greg Mohr, MOHR.com, and check it out. It'll be on there. And I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to let me have that in the bookstore or not. But anyway, it'll be on my website. Okay. So let me tell you a couple of funnies. This is called the Hog Farmer in the Church. So Sam, a local hog farmer, decided to attend a church in town. He went in his work clothes, smelling remarkably like his hog pen. The church folk were outraged at the odor coming off of Sam. And so the pastor addressed Sam and said, the next time you come here, Sam, you need to ask the Lord what you should wear. So Sam agreed. The next Sunday, he returned back to the same church in his same work clothes. The pastor met him at the door and asked, did you ask the Lord what you should wear to church, Sam? And Sam said, yes, sir. The pastor said, well, what did the Lord say? He said, well, the Lord said he'd never been to this church. He didn't know what to wear. That's funny. So, this one's called Be Careful What You Wish For. So a 60-year-old married couple is walking on the beach. As they're walking along, they stumble across an object in the sand that looks like a golden urn with a lid on it. The husband picks it up, starts to wipe away the sand, and poof, a genie appears. The wife faints on the beach. The genie tells the man, you get one wish. And the man looks at his unconscious wife and says, I wish I was married to a woman 20 years younger than me. The genie said, okay, here we go. Poof, now you're 80. Serves him right, huh? Okay, so I think you guys got what the Lord was emphasizing, right? And I'd love to hear back from you, those of you who are watching at home. Just how do they email here, Daniel? Do you know? Can they just email?
Email the ministry
and tell us what God has done for you. Love to hear the testimonies. You can also email info@gregmohr.com. Okay. But I'd love to hear what God's done for you and then how that's impacted your physical health. So I'm telling you, if you'll manage peace in your heart, a sound heart is life to the body, guys. Yes? So I want to kind of segue and just take that for the next few minutes. And this is a very simple message. We know that healing is the will of God, but and this is not only for those of you who are here watching at home and need to receive healing, but especially for those that you're going to be ministering healing to, okay? You not only need to know that it is the will of God for, absolutely, it's that healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time, but you also need to know why healing is the will of God. And you need to be prepared to tell people why. Not just that it is, but why is it? Why, what are the reasons why healing is the will of God? And so, look, if you can't believe or you don't believe, when I wrote that book, Your Healing Door, the premise of it is there are many doors that'll open healing. It just many keys that'll unlock a healing door for you, many principles of the word. will bring healing to you. You confess the word, you can pray, you can praise, use aggressive faith, understand that you're loved, all kinds of things that will help you. But when I got that book out, there was a friend of mine that pastored in the area. We had a pastor's meeting we met with, and this guy had two twin sons, and there were complications in their birth, and after 3 months, one of his sons died. And he was distraught, and everything. And this was now 2 years later. And when I came out with this book, in my book, I boldly declare, it's the will of God to heal everyone, every time, all the time. And so he just got in my face afterwards, because I handed the book out to everybody. And he said, "Now this is a heresy." So how can this be? If it was the will of God, we asked God to heal my son, and he wasn't healed. So if it was the will of God, it would have happened. I said, "Listen, man, I haven't lost a son, and so I didn't get defensive with him. I said, look, I haven't lost a son. I can't. It's hard for me to identify with you and what you've gone through in the loss of that son. I'm terribly sorry, about that. And but listen," I asked him, I said, "Have you ever witnessed to somebody, shared the gospel with somebody, and they didn't receive?" And he said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well, did you stop witnessing to people because they didn't receive for whatever reason?" And he said, "Well, no, but that doesn't make healing the will of God for everybody." Well, I said, "Healing's the will of God, just like salvation is the will of God for everybody, but not everybody receives it. And we don't know all the reasons why. Sometimes people go through things and they get tired of the fight and they just give up and they see heaven and they take off. In the case of your child, that wouldn't be the case. Okay, so I don't really know the answer to that. I'm not going to try to answer. I'm certainly not going to tell you that you guys weren't in faith. Though by his communication with me, I knew he wasn't. I mean, I knew he wasn't convinced that it was God's will to heal, because he let the death of his son tell him otherwise. That is, sometimes it's not the will of God to heal. And I didn't condemn him for that. I said, "Look, I don't know. I'll just say Trevor is his name. Trevor, I don't know what happened with your son. When you get to heaven, we're going to do a lot of this. God, you were good. You were right. You were fair, even though we didn't understand it. But here's the thing I do know. If you can't, and you answer me this, if you can't believe that it's God's will to heal everybody, every time, all the time, I'm talking about being the will of God. If you're not convinced that it's the will of God to heal everyone, every time, all the time, how would you have faith for him to heal you anytime?" And he couldn't answer me. And so the reason why I have to believe and must believe that it's the will of God, even though I've prayed for my nephew that had water on his brain and he died. I prayed for lots of people, but a lot of people I prayed for, you didn't want to get in my prayer line early on in my ministry, because I prayed for a lot of people that died, okay? But I didn't stop believing, I didn't allow my experience to establish my doctrine. Are you hearing me? And so I just had to get convinced, "Lord, this is your will, no matter whether I see it happen or not. I'm just going to believe, because if I don't, how could I ever be in faith that this is a time it's his will?" It'd be like, "He loves me, he loves me not. He heals me this time and he heals me not." I mean, you can't do anything with that, guys. There's not faith there. Are you with me? And then the things that happen that we don't understand, the secret things belong to the Lord, and you got to just commit that to God and keep praying for the sick. Amen. And so, there's several things I want to just, I'm not going to be able to unpack them all. I'll give you some scripture, But there are several things that have helped me, okay, to communicate with others why healing is the will of God, why I know it's the will of God. So number one is His word declares it. And He's faithful to His word. I mean, lots of scriptures, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in what? God said right there, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So He wants us above all things to walk in health, right? And Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He could lie. Right? So right there, if I've got God's word, and I could give you lots of scriptures, Psalm 107:20, He sent His word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, actually, because verse 4, surely He has borne our sicknesses and He's carried our pains. All of these scriptures declare that healing is the will of God. So His word declares it, and He's not a liar, right? And so, but I encourage you to get in the word and find scriptures yourself that give you the basis for believing, and you make them yours, okay? And you can just look it up in your concordance, or you can get my book, Scriptures to Live By. It's got, or my book on healing. It's got a lot of healing scriptures. The second thing is healing is His nature. It's His nature. Exodus 15:26, He said, I am the Lord who heals you. And when He said, I am the Lord there, that's He calls Himself Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, one of His names is the Lord our healer. So the fact, whenever God tells you His name, Jehovah Shammah, He's the Lord our peace, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, that's a different aspect of His character and nature. When He tells you His name, He's giving you a picture of His character and nature. And when He said, I'm Jehovah Rapha, that He's saying, this is who I am. My nature is a healer. That's who I am. And one of His names reveals His nature is the Lord our healer. And God's will, you may want to write this down, God's will never violate His nature. And if you want to see His nature, just look at all the different names of God. He's Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. All the names of God reveal the nature of God, and God's will never violate His nature. And so we know, why is it the will of God? Because He said it. But then why? What's another reason? Because it's one of His names reveals that He's a healer, and He'll never violate that. And then He's a healing God you can depend on, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Jesus, the express image of the Father, in Hebrews 1:3, it says He is the express image of the Father. And He came to do the will of the Father. He had a healing ministry. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Everybody say, Jesus is a healer. And Jesus the healer is the express image of the Father. And that's in Hebrews 1:3. And so, you know, that's why I know it's the will of God, is that's His nature. And Jesus was the express image of the Father, and he had a healing ministry. So, man, you'd have to go a long way to say Jesus is not a healer. And then another reason why I know healing is the will of God is because Jesus, our Creator, created our bodies to heal. Amen. Right? Okay. Any of you ever watched Toy Story? You know, I watch it with my grandkids. And you know, one of those Toy Stories, I don't know which one it was, number three or four, I forget. After a while, they just all go together. But Woody got his arm cut off. And Woody couldn't get his arm healed, right? But listen, if we get a cut on our arm, well, all things being equal, it'll heal. God built our bodies. He created our bodies that He said very good with an immune system. Yeah, Barry Bennett, when he was dealing with cancer, the last thing that they did is they took these T cells out of him. And they sent them to California or somewhere to multiply them because they're attack cells, and they attack disease and things that are, you know, invading your body. And they injected them back into his body. It was a really tough time for him because those attack cells, man, they went after that destroyed every cancer cell in his body. But they took what God had already created. Right? I mean, you came too late to tell me God doesn't heal because He created your body to heal. And then doctors don't heal. Doctors just find out ways of some medical ways or different things that can cooperate with the healing process. If the healing process wasn't there, they'd be like Woody or like Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty. Had a great fall, Humpty Dumpty. Is that how it went? Sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, but Jesus can, and especially you. Yes? And so why do we know healing is the will of God? Because He said it, His nature is He's a healer, and then He created our bodies to heal. Man, doctors aren't working against healing. You don't ever need to be ashamed to go to a doctor. Jesus isn't against, God's not against doctors and medicine. He's just against being number two in your life. Amen. I nicked that off of Jim Baker. I like that. It was good. Then healing is in the atonement. We've already read that. So healing is in the atonement. In other words, okay, how many of you ever led somebody to the Lord? Anybody ever led? Okay, have you ever led a bad dude to the Lord? Or a bad dudette? Somebody that's done, I mean, they were pretty sorry in their past life, right? Well, did you doubt at all that person could be saved? Did you doubt that the Lord would forgive them? No, why? Because Jesus already paid the price for total forgiveness for that person, that they would just repent and accept the Lord, right? Just repent of living and depending on themselves and just say, God, Jesus, I need a Savior. And they get saved, right? Well, guys, so many people come for healing like they're unlike they were coming to receive salvation. They're coming for healing like they're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. And they don't realize that just in the same way that healing was, I mean, that salvation and forgiveness of sins, Jesus already provided it. He already provided it. He already provided healing in the same way. That's why when they let the four men let the guy down the roof that was paralyzed, And Jesus saw their faith and He said to the man, man, your sins are forgiven you. Take up your bed and walk. And the Pharisees got mad at Him, not because He healed the man, but because He said, your sins are forgiven you. See, they didn't have a problem seeing that Jesus could forgive, that could heal that man's body. They had a problem that He could forgive sins. And then He asked the question, you know, and you can find this in Luke chapter 5, whether is it easier to say your sins are forgiven you or take up your bed and walk? And the right answer to that question will determine whether you can receive healing. Because the correct answer is neither one, because the same sacrifice paid for both. So what does that mean? When you come to the Lord for salvation, or you come bringing somebody to lead them to salvation, you don't doubt that God, they'll receive it, do you? Well, when you come to God for healing, don't go to God like you're begging, or you're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. It belongs to you. Say, I receive it. Jesus, you paid the price, just like forgiveness of sins. Amen. And then finally, all you got to do, okay. You may not have healing in your body. Recently, I bought my wife, well, last year, I bought my wife several thousand dollars of jewelry, because several years ago it got stolen. It got stolen in Durham when we were doing Healing Is Here, remember? Yeah. Out there. And it got stolen. She left it in a hotel, and it was all sentimental. I mean, it had pearls and diamonds and rubies, and now it was worth a lot more. But she wouldn't let me buy her anything. So I finally go to this jeweler where we bought these initial pearls, and he didn't have exactly like that, but he had something close. And Janice said, yeah, that's pretty. But then she said, oh, it's sentimental. And the guy said, yeah, I understand it's sentimental. I said, you're dumb, dude. You're about to lose a sale. We're going to create new sentimental. Amen. And so that day, in fact, his mother developed that cluster of pearls with diamonds, and he actually redid it for Janice, or did a new one. And then we have, man, I mean, I got her two expensive rings, a bracelet, another necklace. It was several thousand dollars, okay? And I didn't have the cash, right? Okay? But I had a little thing here. Now, this is somebody else's canceled debit card, because I actually pulled mine out on TV one time and showed it, and they had to gray it out and say, that's dumb, Greg. Anyway, so this is a canceled debit card, but I didn't have the cash in my wallet to pay for that several thousand dollars of jewelry, but I did have it here. You understand? I had it in my account. And guys, you may not have healing here in your body right now, but you do have it here. Amen. And so when you go to receive it, it's just like, what do I have to do? Use your debit card of faith, or write the check, okay? However you do, credit card, debit card, check. And when you write the check, you can be rude to the teller. If you got the money, you're going to get it. You understand? But here's the point. Stop asking or confessing for healing from a place of deficit. See, I could receive that jewelry for her because I had surplus. I didn't have surplus in here, but I had it in the bank. And you've got surplus in here. You may not have it here, but in your body, but you have it here. And so stop making the request from a place of deficit. Now, we're about to land. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'm going to go over just a little bit. But so I want to get you one. You have to blame the Holy Spirit on my dealing so long with peace. But anyway, it was good. So what's the final reason you need to know healing is the will of God? Because He loves you. He really loves you. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. And that's not, it doesn't work by you walking in love perfectly. It works when you understand you're loved perfectly. Yes? Faith works best. Faith for healing. Faith for finances. Faith for relational reconciliation. Whatever you're asking God for. Faith works best where you understand, when you understand you're loved. Now, I've got four children, 12 grandchildren. I've got nine granddaughters. And I could call Ellie. We just saw her last night. But she just had her 16th birthday. And we could call Ellie and we could say, Ellie, we want to go, Graham's and Pop-Up, we're going to take you shopping. And so Ellie's got no problem believing. She has zero problem believing that she's going to have a shopping trip. In fact, she plans it out. She knows, well, last year we went 5 different shops. And we knew right where, and we're going to take her out to eat. She knew right where she wanted to go. She was a girl with a made-up mind, knows what she wants. Why did Ellie, what gave her that faith and that confident expectation that she's going on a shopping trip? Because of 2 things. She knows her grandparents love her, and she believes we're loaded. And for her, we are. Are you hearing me? Yes. Guys, when Michael was so sick, Michael is Andrew's daily television producer. He's a senior producer. But when Michael was 15 months old, he went through muscular arthritic condition. His joints swelled up twice their size. He stayed that way for a long time. And we went to Lakewood Church. John Osteen, Joel's dad. Norval Hayes came through. Anybody familiar with Norval Hayes? Norval Hayes was, he was a crazy man, but full of love. He reminded me a little bit of Dave Duell. Yeah. He was an evangelist, okay? And he called down people that needed healing. Well, we determined we're not going to have anybody else pray for Michael, but then the Lord prompted us, I want you to go down. And we went down and stood there in line. I held Michael in my arms. He was probably maybe 16, 17 months old at the time. He couldn't crawl. Now he couldn't walk. He'd cry all the time. And Norval Hayes laid hands on people. He came and laid hands on Michael and me. And he went down about 3 or 4 more people. And then he came back. And I was still standing there. And he just wrapped his arms around us and he wept. He wept over us. And something broke in me. He just wept over us. And he just prayed such a simple, precious prayer. Father, I thank you that your love breaks this yoke. And man, I'm telling you guys, it's like it happened yesterday. And it wasn't long after that, Janice had a vision of Michael running around the corner saying, Mama, Mama, Mama. Then about a month later, he crawled for the first time. And then later he walked and then he ran and he actually ran around the corner saying, Mama, Mama, Mama. But there was something tangible when that man of God just wrapped his arms around us and just wept. And it was like the Father was telling him, I know what you're going through, son, and I paid the price, and you're going to receive healing. Your son's going to be well. And I just wept and wept and wept, man. It's just, I can't not cry thinking about it right now. Here's the point, guys. God knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. And today, he sent me just to wrap his arms around you. He cares about you. He loves you. Faith works when we know we're loved. If you'd be an evil, Matthew 7:11, if you'd be an evil or human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? He's not holding out on you. I encourage you to meditate on his love for you. After Michael was healed, they did a story of us on Kenneth Copeland, because God used Kenneth Copeland to teach us a lot at that time. And we had all kinds of people call from all over the world about their child who was sick or had cancer or whatever. And basically they were looking for, they were grasping at straws, looking for spiritual levers to pull and spiritual buttons to push. And we just told them, listen, right now you need to chill out and rest in God's love and care for you. He'll show you what you need to do to receive. But right now I'm just feeling and sensing God's love for you. Will you let him love you? Will you let him just wrap you up in his arms? Will you receive that hug from the Father? Because man, guys, faith works by love. If you need to know something to do, God will show you. He's not going to hold out on you. I held Michael in my arms and said, you know, Father, Kenneth Copeland knows how to believe you, and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and John Osteen, but this is my baby. Would you help me? Would you help me? So that I don't miss the healing that he has. And he did that for me. And he'll do that for you. His love, guys, is so strong. And he just wants to manifest that right now to you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Father, I just thank you for releasing your love. Every person that's here, and it brings peace, it brings health, it brings life, it brings wholeness. Whatever they need, Lord, you're not going to hold out on them. Just help them to rest in that love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. What a great time together with you in the Word and in the Spirit. Appreciate your heart so much, my friend.
Amen. Love you.
Healing Disciples, if you would come and get ready to minister, we want to, as we always do, just give you an opportunity for personal ministry with the laying on of hands, prayer of agreement, whatever it is that you're going through. You know what? God never designed for us to go through it by ourselves. We're part of something bigger than just us. And it's called the body of Christ. And thank God for the body of Christ, that we can be here to be a strength to each other, a help to each other. And what an honor to be able to be here and be able to minister to you. So if you would stand to your feet, just to make it easier for those who want to get out, go to the aisles. If you want some personal ministry, and our ushers will help direct you to our Healing Disciples here today. But before that happens, could we just tell Pastor Greg Moore, thank you one more time today, just for what a great time of ministry. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful for this time to be able to gather. We're here, Lord willing, every Wednesday afternoon. Next week, Jeremy Pearson will be with us. And we'll be back here in the Barn Auditorium again next week. So tell your friends, we've got production rehearsals going on and all kinds of things here in the ministry. So thank God for this room. You know, this is where, here in Woodland Park, this is where the healing ministry began. Was in this auditorium. We started back in Elkton in Colorado Springs in our building there, but we were here in this auditorium for a long time before we ever were able to branch out into our brand new auditorium. And so this room holds a lot of special memories for many of us, including Pastor Greg. We've seen God do amazing things, and it's not the room, but you know, when you're in a space, you associate with that space. And man, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. I look around and I remember when this was being constructed and looking at this beautiful facility, and all of this is because of the faithfulness of God, but also because of the faithfulness of partners just like you that have helped make this possible. So again, we have freely received, and now we have the opportunity to freely give. And we want to be able to bless you and be a blessing. So for those of you who want some further ministry, like I said, come out in the aisles and let our ushers direct you. And as they're coming out, I want to just address our online family just for a moment before I let you go. And just once more, again, I know we've done this several times already, but thank you for being a part of our Healing Now service today. Even if you are watching this in the archives, thank you for being a part of this. Wherever you're joining us from around the world, we want to remind you that we are prayer ministers available for you right now. If you'll call that number on your screen, 719-635-1111, you'll be able to personally have ministry through our call center, and we're seeing breakthrough, miracles, all kinds of wonderful things happening on a regular basis. So again, don't feel like you have to go through what you're going through by yourself. We're here for you. We want to minister to you, and we want to rejoice with you at the provision of God's grace in your life. So call that number and then do us a favor and write to us and let us know how this ministry has been a blessing to you, because we want to rejoice with you in Jesus' name. God bless you. We look forward to next time we're together. Those of you here in the auditorium, again, thank you for coming today. And if you want some personal ministry, come on.